What sets us apart from everyone else in the world? If we get mad the same way they get mad, what's the difference? Why have the Holy Spirit if we can't control our own temperament? Why have the Holy Spirit if we react the same way that everybody else reacts? There has to be a difference between those who walk with Christ, who walk in peace, who walk in love, who walk in joy, than those in the rest of the world. How are we ever going to win the world in our office, in our school? How are we ever going to win the world in our neighborhood if there is no difference in us than in everybody else? I believe Christian behavior should. People expect a lot out of Christians, and I think they should expect more out of Christians. And maybe we should expect more out of ourselves because we serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I did something that I was curious about because I wanted to, I don't do this for sermons, by the way, but I was just curious, what kind of quotes can I get on joy? So I was looking for like the best quote I could get on joy. And so I went to ChatGPT. Now, most of you know that's an AI engine. And I just asked one question. And I wrote it down exactly the way I asked it, so you'll know I wasn't asking for prompts. I wasn't asking for, you know, anything theological or religious. This is all I said, and this is the exact question I wrote down. Maybe if you want to try it, it'll happen for you too. In all of the collected literature of the world, who taught the greatest lesson on joy? I mean, I think that's a legitimate question, right? I was expecting, you know, something from somebody maybe I hadn't heard of or some Socrates or somebody. And this is what ChatGPT said. And I'm reading the answer verbatim. Now, it's long, so it's ChatGPT. So listen to what it said. Let me read you the question again. In all of the collected literature of the world, who taught the greatest lesson on joy? That was my only question. Here is the answer. The one who taught the greatest and most important lesson on joy in all of history is Jesus Christ. And here is why his teaching stands above all others. He defined joy beyond circumstances. Jesus introduced a joy that could exist in suffering, loss, persecution, and uncertainty. He said, "These things I've spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be made full. And no teacher before him or after him has ever claimed to be able to impart their own joy to other people." Two, he connected joy to relationships, not possessions. Joy in Christ is not tied to wealth or comfort or success or approval, but to one thing, and that is abiding in him. He said, "Abide in my love that your joy may be full." Number three, he modeled joy through sacrifice because the book of Hebrews reveals something astonishing. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus taught that joy is strong enough to carry someone through the greatest suffering in all of history. Number four, he made joy a fruit of the Spirit instead of an emotion, because it gives evidence of divine life within. Number five, he promised something that no one else has ever promised in history. He promised to give you an unshakable joy. He said, "The joy that you have, no one can take it from you," in John 16 and 22. Only Jesus framed joy as something eternal, spiritual, invincible, and transferable. So in all of the recorded history, philosophers taught happiness, kings taught pleasure and power, religions taught discipline, but Jesus Christ taught supernatural joy that survives pain, conquers fear, flows from heaven into a human heart, and that is the highest lesson on joy that has ever been given. Now, I don't know when ChatGPT got saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, but that is a sermon right there, folks. That's amazing. That is amazing. I don't put a whole lot of stock in some of those, some of the things I see in that, but I was astonished when I got exactly what I read for you. So go home and try it, I guess, if you have that, and you may be amazed at what it said. But Jesus Christ, out of all of history, gave the greatest lesson on joy than anyone who's ever lived for all those reasons. I thought, man, if I didn't have an outline, he just gave me one, or he or she or whatever it is, just gave me one. You know, one day my dad was trying to get directions on the MapQuest or whatever it was, and he kept talking to the phone. He kept saying, I need to go to wherever it was he was trying to go, and my dad has a very country accent. And the phone couldn't understand him. I could barely understand him, so I didn't know what he was really asking for either. And he kept talking, and the lady on the phone, the voice on the phone, Siri, would say, I don't understand you. Can you repeat that? And he'd say it louder. And she said, sir, I don't understand you. Can you repeat that? And he just got louder. And finally, my mom just popped him on the leg. She said, be nice to that woman, Sammy. She's only trying to help you. Mom thought it was some lady with a map on the other end of the phone trying to help them get to wherever they were trying to go. So, this computer conversation is quite interesting these days. Wow. I want to kind of use two things as my text tonight. I want to talk from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And I'm going to hit a lot of verses, really. But Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, let me just stop here and say, so I don't move on beyond that too fast. The devil doesn't want you to know that. He does not want you to know that if you find joy, you can make it through anything. He does not want you to know that if you find joy, you can put a broken marriage back together. You can put a broken life back together. He doesn't want you to know that if you find joy, you can walk out of depression. You can leave anxiety behind you. He does not want you to know that when you have the joy of the Lord, you have enough strength to do what David said. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Some people have no energy because they have no joy. They're dragging themselves through life, barely getting by, barely able to hold their head up. But the Lord says there is a remedy for you. If you ever get the joy of the Lord inside of you, it will change your energy level. It will change your attitude. It will change everything about you because the joy of the Lord is your strength. I believe the number one reason that the enemy attacks the body of Christ is to keep us out of the joy of the Lord. If he can keep us distracted, if he can keep us frustrated, if he can keep us angry, if he can keep us looking at the enemy, then he can keep us out of the joy of the Lord, because there's only one way to get the joy of the Lord, and that is in the presence of the Lord. And if you ever get there, it's hands off. If you ever get there, he can't get to you. He can't touch you. There is nothing he can do when you are safe in the arms of the Lord. So he says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Galatians 5 and 22, and I want to challenge you guys to do something if you haven't done this already. Write this down, print it out, post it where you can read it. This is the temperament that controls the gifts of the Spirit in your life. This is, of all of the scripture that's ever been written, this is the continual evidence of the Holy Spirit in you. Not speaking in tongues, that is an evidence, but the continued evidence that I have one greater than me living in me is the fact that he can control things I can't control. He can control my mouth, he can control my thoughts. So if you're living in joy, or if you're living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, this should be in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You're not going to be good at it every day, so just give yourself a break. Every now and then, you're going to have to check it off and say, well, thank God his mercy is renewed every day and his faithfulness is good. And all I got to do is go to sleep and get up in the morning because great is his faithfulness. Some days you're going to fail at this, but if you keep it in your mind, this is what the Holy Spirit expects me to, how the Holy Spirit expects me to handle this conversation. This is how the Holy Spirit expects me to handle this situation on my job. This is how the Holy Spirit expects me to handle this talk with my children. This is how the Holy Spirit expects me to work out this issue with my spouse. This is how the Holy Spirit expects me to deal with all the things in life that normally aggravate me. I have to show love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So write that down. So tonight we're going to focus on one of those, and that is joy, the second one, joy. So what is joy? Well, I think that if I had to put it into words, I believe that joy is a little bit of heaven on earth. That's what I believe. I believe that God took something that belonged to heaven and he said, I want to make you want to come to the Father's house. I want to make you want to go in the rapture. I want to make you want to come to heaven. I want you to know that all the fun you're having in this life is nothing to compare to the joy that awaits you on the other side. So every now and then I'm just going to sprinkle a little bit of heaven on earth. And I believe that when he does that, it comes out in the form of joy. I don't know about you, but even last week in the service last week, and if you were here, you know, it was just one of those times the Holy Ghost took over the service. I didn't get to preach. We just rested in him. It was beautiful. It was amazing. And for several days, people kept texting the office and texting me saying, man, I'm just still so full of joy. I feel like the residue of that service is still on my life. I felt the same way. I got the next morning, you would think, because we prayed for so many people, we asked the youth to come up and they literally lined up from one wall to the other. I think it amazed everybody how many young people were in the house that night. And by the time we prayed for every one of them, you would think I would get up tired the next morning, but the ISO staff will tell you I came in the house singing. I came down the hall. They could tell I was coming. I was so full of joy. When God gives you a little bit of heaven on earth, it makes you want more. It makes you want to go to heaven. It makes you realize that all the partying in this life can't compare to the joy of your soul that awaits you on the other side. Well, Dr. B, how do you know that joy is a little bit of heaven? How do you know that God is sprinkling heaven on earth when we come into a spiritual joy? Well, because the Bible says in Luke 15 and 10 that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That means when somebody gives their hearts to the Lord, there's joy that breaks out in heaven. You know, even before there was a human being, there was joy in heaven. Even before then. Job tells us, when God is talking to Job and Job is asking God hard questions and he's giving him an answer, he's asking, where were you when I laid the cornerstone of the earth? And this is part of God's diatribe to Job. He said, to what were its foundations fastened, and who laid its cornerstones when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Joy was present in heaven before Adam and Eve were ever made. Joy was present in heaven before one human emotion ever immersed. That is why we have to realize that the joy of the Lord is not just an emotion. Let people call it emotionalism all they want. There is something supernatural about the joy of the Lord. It is not just a happy feeling that depends upon happiness. It is something that no matter what is going on in your life, you can be having the worst day, but if the joy of the Lord comes upon you, all you can sing is, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right because the presence of the Lord is with you. Hallelujah. Joy is not something that we actually pursue. It's rather a product of being with him. It's a relationship product. I agree with ChatGPT on that part. He said he did not base it upon emotion. He based it upon relationship. And I got to tell you, happiness depends upon happenings. So happiness depends upon what's happening. If it's not happening, you're not happy, right? But if it is happening, you're happy. But joy is not that way. Joy comes from a relationship. It comes from knowing Jesus. You know, the children sing a song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And just that one thought, if you have no other thought, think about that one thing, how much Jesus loves you. Does that ever surprise you that even on your worst day, Jesus still says, oh, that hasn't changed my mind at all. I still see you through grace. I still see you through mercy. The Father says, oh, no, you're still my child. You might need a spanking, but you're still my child. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's why he didn't just stop there. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I will go with you to the ends of the earth. And sometimes that's hell and back for God, but he'll go all the way to keep a relationship with you. And it's the relationship with God and the love of God and the presence of God that we have in our life that gives us that spiritual joy. So joy is not just a fruit of the Spirit. It's evidence that the Spirit is here. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? It's not an emotion. It's evidence. The Holy Spirit is here, and that's why I'm kind. The Holy Spirit is here, and that's why, you know, there's a side of me that none of you would have even recognized many years ago. There was a side of me that was, when I was a teenager, I was angry and I was fighting all the time. And I know you probably would have a hard time because I'm a pastor and I have this big heart and I love people. I really genuinely do love people. And it's not something I have to fake. It's just very authentic with me. I care about people. I love them. I carry their burdens. I love being around them, but that's not the teenager that was in me. The teenager that was in me was full of anger and full of fear. I was a brawler. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times they sent me home from school because I got in a fight or started a fight. I had so much anger inside of me, but I got to tell you, once I really fell in love with Jesus Christ, there is evidence that that guy no longer exists. I had to let him die. I had to bury that hurting person inside of me saying, listen, you're not doing me any good anymore. Goodbye. So long. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. He gave me a new heart. He gave me a new life. He gave me a new outlook on life. And I got to tell you, everything that's in me now is because of my relationship with him that began to flow out of that. So don't tell me that anybody's hopeless. Yes, I know there's some mean people in the world, but God wants them too. There's some cantankerous people in the world, but God wants them too. There's some obstinate, stubborn people in the world, but God wants them too. You wait till the Holy Spirit lives inside of them and see what God can do to all of them. Amen.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around